the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
My name's Johnny Baker. I'm a member of the leadership team here. If it's your first time this morning, a huge warm welcome to you. It's great that you're with us, and please stay for tea and coffee at the end. If it is your first time here, maybe it's your first ever time in a church, here's what we've been doing. We look at the Bible every week because we think it's God's word and it helps us. And we've been in a six-part series. This is part five this morning. And what we've been doing is we have been thinking about a chap called Moses. And we meet Moses at the start of Exodus. And at the start of Exodus, this main character of the Old Testament comes in. In fact, no one in the Old Testament has as much space as Moses. He's the main man in four whole books of the Bible: Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses is the main man running through those strands, and we've been following him through the book of Exodus. And if you've been here for the past few weeks, here's where we've been. Dave Fenton opened the series. We thought about the man who ran away. Moses, this great guy, really big biblical figure. He had a shocking start. He murdered someone. He was a fugitive. He fled. He was in big trouble. And then week two, we saw about the bush that keeps on burning. John Allen helped us think about that, how God spoke to Moses through this burning bush that didn't actually burn. And God gave Moses a mission, and that mission was to go and lead the people, the Israelites, out of slavery to the Promised Land. And in the subsequent weeks, we've seen how Moses had got on. 2 weeks ago, we were thinking about when there was the plagues, when Moses went to Pharaoh and went, "Please can I have the Israelites?" And Pharaoh went, "No." And then eventually he rescinded. And then last week, on the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, we saw how the Israelites just kept on moaning. They were a bunch of whingers. And this morning, we have reached Exodus chapter 20, and we're thinking about the Ten Commandments. Now, I think we live in an age where people know less about the Bible than probably ever before. Despite all the internet and all the access to Bibles we've got, I think we're in an age where people struggle knowing about the Bible. But there are a few bits and pieces that people still know about, and I think the Ten Commandments is one of those things. People still know a little bit about the Ten Commandments. But in the 21st century, despite knowing a little bit about them, they are very, very, very unpopular. What we're about to read is, I think, pretty much across the board unpopular. Why? Three reasons. Here are your three reasons. Firstly, and the clue is in the name, isn't it? Commandments. We live in an age which doesn't like being told what to do. You could get away with the 10 suggestions, but 10 commandments? That don't come and impinge on me. Don't come and tell me what to do. That's the age we live in. As well as that, people don't like being told what to do. They also think that these commandments are restricting, that they actually quash and take life from people. And I can see that in a moment when we'll read them together. If you're eagle-eyed, you'll see that 8 of them appear negative and only 2 appear positive. And those 2 are honour your mother and father and keep the Sabbath day holy. And if you played around with the wording of those 2, you could even make them sound negative as well. They don't like it. Don't tell me what to do. They're too restricting. And here's the other reason that they're unpopular. Quite simply, they're unpopular because they're old. They are seemingly out of date, not fit for purpose. What we're reading happened about 3,000 years ago. This is just out of date. And do you know what? I can sympathise with that a little bit. I don't know about you. I can sympathise with it. Here is Commandment 10. It says this. We're going to read it in a second. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. "You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour." Now, I've done some bad things this week. I've thought some bad things, and I really have. But I promise you this, and I assure you, I haven't coveted my neighbour's ox. Just trust me on that. You might not believe me. I promise you, I haven't. I can see why people look at something like that and go, "Do you know what? That is gone. This is not fit for purpose anymore." People say those three things. If you ask them, I think that's what they'd say. And personally, I couldn't disagree more. I could not disagree more with those three points. And I'll explain why in a moment. Now, I actually think that these are the opposite of those three things. So people say that they're irrelevant, they're boring, they restrict you, they're out of date. I think they are liberating, I think they are positive, and I think they are bang relevant for today in the 21st century, in this city, this week, this year, all times. This is really, really important. J. John agrees with me. J. John is a big evangelist. He wrote a book on the Ten Commandments. He cleverly titled it Ten. And he said this about the Ten Commandments, barely 300 words long in English. The Ten Commandments form the foundation of our legal system, are enshrined in the heart of our parliamentary structures, and lie at the very core of Western civilization. In words so brief that they make only a palm-sized piece of text in a newspaper, this great arch of divine law encompasses family rights, the rights of the individual, and even the rights of God. Someone once said that humans are such able creatures that they have made 32,647,389 laws and still haven't been able to improve on the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are relevant today, right now. Let's read about them. They're on page 74 of your church Bibles. You might want to look them up now. And as we read them together, I wonder if you will do what I did when I first read this. When I found out I was reading this passage, I looked over it again. I wonder if you're going to do what I did. Let's read it together. Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord, your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land your God has given to you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and these are your instructions. Father, you made us. Father, and you have spoken to us. Father, would we have ears to hear and hearts to hear what you might have to say to us this morning? And would you give us the courage to act on it as well, we pray. Amen. I wonder if you did what I did when I read this a few weeks ago. When I read the Ten Commandments, I went something like this. I went, as I was reading it, I was like, yeah, got that one. Yeah, oh, that's a bad one. Four and a half. Something like that. I don't know if you did a self-check test. That's what I did when I first read it. If you did a self-check test, that's fine. But just hold on 1 second. We will look at the commandments individually, but just pause a second, because I wouldn't want you to gloss over six of the most important words in the text. Can you see them? They are incredibly important, and if we're not careful, we will just run over them like they're not there. Don't run over them. they're essential. Can you see them? Verse 1. And God spoke all these words. And God spoke all these words. These words that we've just read, they weren't Moses in a field under a tree having a break, writing on a piece of paper or a post-it note. This wasn't a group of the Israelites coming together and having a little confab and coming up with something. This wasn't a leadership team writing a paper, asking for confirmation from the congregation and having a consultation and then putting it out on the website. It's not that at all. God is speaking these words. And this is the first time in the entire history of the world that God has spoken to an entire nation. He's never done that. He's been speaking through people, spoken through prophets, spoken through a variety of different people. God is speaking to an entire nation. He is delivering his instructions to all of mankind as it's passed on. And it's really important that we listen to it. Now, if you're someone here this morning and you say, I'm not a Christian. I don't trust Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I don't. That's just not me. And you may look at this and go, God's got rules. I don't like that. This seems a little off-putting. Looks a bit restrictive. Maybe like some of those three things we thought about at the start. Well, can I just urge you, before you write this off, just to have a little think. If there's a God who has made us, if there are a God who has made us and has spoken, and if he knows the best way to live, then it does make sense to listen to what he has to say. Please don't write it off yet. Don't forget that rules are there to give us a frame from which we can live, boundaries which we can live within. You take anything in life, there are rules, aren't they? Football, the gym, the office, schools, they all have rules. You might not agree with all of them, but they all have rules, and they're there to help us have fun, to enjoy ourselves, to be safe. Rules are not always negative. And if God knows the best for us, if God is the maker, then just don't write these off yet. Just hold on a second. But I don't think it's just people who aren't Christians that have issues with this. I think people who are Christians I've come across who have problems with this. They believe in God, but they don't believe God. There's this very subtle distinction there. They believe in God, but they don't believe God. They believe in a maker, but they don't bother with his instructions or heed them, which is quite strange. And maybe as we read those commandments together this morning, you thought, as we read them, as you're looking through them, you think, I'm kicking against that. I'm not doing that. And if that is you, just pause for a second and just think. God has given these commandments to us so we can have the best life we possibly can, so we can have life in all its fullness. Put in that frame, is it a little bit strange that we kick against these commandments? I think it's a bit strange. I do it myself, so please don't say it's just coming from me. I think it's strange. God loves us, made us, he's given us instructions. It's strange not to follow them, isn't it? So that's kind of the premise of the commandments. What about them? 10 of them. Now, they split. I wonder if as we read it, you saw the split in the commandments. They split in a sort of a 4-6 way. I'm a maths teacher. Lord, why not 5-5? I don't get it. That'll go with me to the grave. They split first 4, last 6. First 4 are all about the same thing. They're all about God. Verses 2 to 11. And the last 6 are grouped because they are all about other people. And we'll look at both of those now. Firstly, commandments about God. First 4. I'll just abbreviate them for you now. Here they are. Don't worship other gods. Don't make idols. Don't take God's name in vain. And keep one day a week for rest and worship. What's been exciting these last few weeks is that right now, all around this building, in every group, we're all learning about the Ten Commandments. And we've all got 3 teaching points. Teaching point 1 that's happening right around the room now, and it's going to happen in here hopefully, is this. What do these 4 commandments say? They say this. Make God number 1. God says, don't put anyone before me. Don't put anything before me. I am the one and the true God. If you've been here the last 4 weeks, you'll have seen it. We've seen a God that parts and closes a sea at will. We've seen a God that delivers plagues but keeps his people safe. We've seen a God speak through a bush that's burning and the bush doesn't burn up. If you read the rest of the Bible, you see God doing incredible things, shutting the mouths of lions, raising people from the dead. You don't mess with this God. This God is the real deal. And because he's the real deal, you don't put substitutes in his place. Don't put idols in the place where God should be. Career, money, sport, sex, family, children, all of those things I've just said are good things. But they shouldn't come in first place. God comes in first place. Don't put anything in my place. I am the one and only God. Make him number one. And if he is number one, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, it does make sense for us not to use his name in vain, not to maybe use it as a swear word. It makes sense, doesn't it, to set aside time for him each week. If God is number one, these are the things that we're going to be doing. Some people think that the Bible is kind of set in two, Old Testament, New Testament. And while this is broken in two in that way, it's one big story. Jesus Christ came about 1,300 years after this. And he was in a moment where a religious leader was trying to test him, trying to get something out of him. And Jesus said this, links back in Matthew 22, verse 38. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Make God your number one. I only have one question. Is he? Is God your number one? Or is one of those other things that we mentioned earlier, good things, number one, but really should be a little bit further down the list? That's the commandments about God. It goes on, doesn't it? Commandments about other people. Here they are, verses 12 to 17. Again, I'll just compress them for you. Is that my dad? No, sorry. Respect your parents. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. And don't be jealous of what someone else has got. Teaching point two, happening right around the building right now. Live well with other people. These last six commandments, you can see, they're all about humans, about how we deal with one another. Everybody has been made by God. Everyone is known by God. Everyone is loved by God, whether we like it or not. And we need to honor them, and we need to respect them, and to show them love. That is what God calls us to do. At a very basic level, that means no killing. At an equally basic level, it means not being disrespectful. Don't lie to one another. Don't steal from one another. Jesus, when he was having that interaction with the religious leader, carried on. He said about loving the Lord your God being the first and greatest commandment. The verse after, in Matthew 22, he says this. And the second greatest commandment is this, is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the commandments say. Make God number one and live well with other people. So what? That's 3,000 years ago. That doesn't matter anymore, does it? Absolutely it does, I believe. I believe they still stand today. But what does God teach us today? Well, some people think you can kind of do away with the Old Testament because Jesus has come and we just need to focus on Jesus and just the Gospels. You don't need to read any else of the Bible. I don't agree with that. And Jesus doesn't either. Look at this, Matthew 5:17. Do not think I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them. I have come to fulfill them. Jesus spells it really clearly. The Ten Commandments are relevant for all time. They are always, always relevant, and they give us an insight into God's character and into the way he wants us to live. If you carried on from Matthew 5, from that verse, you would see that Jesus takes the Ten Commandments, some of them, and he goes further. He says things like, if you are angry with your brother, that's equivalent to murder. If you're looking lustfully at a woman, you're committing adultery. These commandments are really relevant now, and here's what I think they teach us. I think they teach us this. Firstly, and it's pretty straightforward, but they teach us what sort of people God wants us to be. They show us the way that we should live our life. They tell us the things that God loves. God loves seeing families working well together. God loves seeing people loving one another, working with one another. Tells you the things that God doesn't like as well. And it just tells us and shows us how we should be living our lives day in, day out. This is God's blueprint for life. Here's the difficult bit, and please forgive me for being a bit blunt here. Honest, please forgive me. I'm not a wordsmith. The Ten Commandments show us what sort of people we are, and I think they show that we are failures. They certainly show me that. They show me that I have just messed up. Time and time again, I fail to keep these commandments. I'm looking down the list. And imagine that the Ten Commandments was a test and that 10 was the pass rate. Here's how far I get. Commandment 1, you shall have no other gods before me. I'm out straight away. Commandment 1, I've gone. I'll fall at that hurdle. If we had this a moment where I just had massive confession in front of you, you would see that time and time again, commandment after commandment, I fail to keep. I keep falling short. I keep ignoring God's instructions and doing my own thing. Now, I've tried, but I keep on falling short. And you may relate to that. This wanting to try and just not worked again. There's loads of people in the Bible that can relate to that as well. You're not on your own. The Bible's full of people who try but get things wrong. Here's words of Paul in Romans chapter 7. He says this, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." The Ten Commandments are God's instructions for living. And if you're like me, as you look at that list, you failed. You've put things ahead of God. You've ignored his instructions. And we haven't met them. If you have met them all, please come and see me at the end, because I need to spend time with you and you need to help me out. I think we've fallen short. We're lawbreakers. God has given us this brilliant set of instructions to have the best of life, and we have just gone, thanks, but no thanks. And sometimes we haven't even said thank you. We've just ignored this. And we're lawbreakers. And we're in a mess. At this point, we're in a mess because God has given us these instructions and we've said, oh, no, thank you. Here's the greatest thing you'll ever hear. And I'm sure many of you have heard it a billion times. We'll hear it a billion and one times because it's that good. When we were in a big mess, when we needed rescuing, when we needed forgiveness for the times that we've turned on our back, God didn't leave us. He sent a rescuer. He sent a rescuer in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth and we need him. We need Jesus. We need his forgiveness. He came to this earth and he died on a cross, the most unimaginably painful death for you and for me. We have turned our back on God. We have ignored his instructions and we are in need of forgiveness. And who comes along? The only perfect person that ever lives, and he dies on a cross so that we don't need to face the punishment for not listening to him, not following him. And that greatest news doesn't stop there. It gets better and better. It keeps on giving. As well as a rescuer, a savior in Jesus, he didn't just give us that. He also left us with a helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us live more and more and more in the way that God intended, to help us put God first, to help us live well with other people. And we need the Holy Spirit inside us. Now, as we read this morning, you may have been worried, I can't do this. I cannot keep these commandments. This is hard. And if that's you, I'm in your boat too. This is tough. And again, all through the rest of the Old Testament, if you read it, it's God's people trying, God's people failing. God's people trying, then failing again. And they needed something extra, something unbelievable. And one of the prophets, Ezekiel, a prophet is a messenger of God bringing a message. He foresaw this. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And that is exactly what happened. Jesus died. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. But he didn't abandon us. He left us his spirit, that if we follow Jesus, if we become a Christian, God's spirit lives within us. And God's spirit transforms us and helps us more and more and more to live in the way that God intended, to help us do the good that we want to do, to help us resist the evil we don't want to do. God sent us Jesus for forgiveness and the Holy Spirit to help us live in a way that God intended. And that's the Ten Commandments, done and dusted. Not quite. I think it's really, really important. We open God's word every week and we spend a good time looking at it because we just think this is God speaking. This is, what's he got to say? I think it's really important that we act on what God says. And if you're serious about following God, can I just suggest two very, very basic things for you this week? Two things, again, you might have heard before. Firstly, this. Read the Maker's instructions. This is God's word to us. Now, maybe you've never opened a Bible before, if you're here for the first time. If you want a Bible, I'll get you one at the end. It's brilliant. On a Tuesday night, we're starting a Christianity course. Any questions? Come along, find out what's in here. This is God, the Maker, giving us some instructions. Read it. I promise you, it's great. If you are a follower of Jesus, I know at times that this, and personally, it can stay on the shelf, can gather a bit of dust and sit in the corner. If this is God's instructions for us, if this is God's advice to us, it seems very strange to leave it lying on the side, doesn't it? I've struggled this week with knowing how to reply to emails. I've struggled with awkward children at school, and I'm sure they've struggled with an awkward teacher. And I've struggled with members of staff, and likewise they've struggled with me. How do I act? Well, I can just carry on, work it out myself. Or maybe there's some hints and tips in here that tell me. There might not be a note at the back that tells you where to go for writing awkward emails, but there are big principles about how we should live our lives, given by the God who loves us. Read it. Secondly, allow the Holy Spirit to give you strength. 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the Living Bible says this. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you strength. It says this. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Jesus. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Jesus. I said earlier that I don't think anyone's kept the Ten Commandments ever. Not strictly true, is it? There was one perfect person that came to this earth, lived a perfect life, followed the Ten Commandments perfectly, and we killed him. Jesus followed these commandments, and Jesus leaves us his Spirit within us so we can live more and more in the way God intended us to live. It can often feel like we're trapped. I can never change. I can never do this. I can never do some of these things here. I don't believe that. I once witnessed a conversation between two people. Someone was saying, I can't change. I cannot do this. And very graciously, it sounds pretty blunt, but they did it in such a lovely manner. I won't do it in a very lovely manner. This person said, I can't do it. The person said, you follow Jesus and God's Spirit's inside you. The God who made the universe, the God who saved and rescued the Israelites, the God who raised Jesus from the dead, but he can't change you. That's a shame. It's not true. God can change every situation. And if you want this situations to change, please see someone at the back for prayer. And we're going to have a think about these commandments in a moment. Change is possible. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you strength to face the battles and the difficulties that we face. They might not go away, but God will help us through them. I'm going to sit down in one moment. Can I leave you with one illustration? It's this. Before my grandfather died, he graciously passed on to Hannah and I his whiteness and Micra. It's sat in the car park at the front now. He passed it on because his eyesight was going. He was struggling with mobility and it was difficult to drive. So he very generously passed it on to us. And it was in great condition. I've looked after it quite well. It's still okay. And it was perfect condition. As he handed over the keys, he went, Johnny, there you go. Look after it. Instruction manual's in the glove box. Off you go. Now imagine this. I drive off and in the coming weeks, knowing that instruction manual's in the glove box, I go, nah, I'm wiser than that. I can do this. And imagine if in my infinite wisdom in the next few weeks, I started putting water in the petrol tank. I started putting oil in the windscreen washer fluid. I started chucking petrol all around the car. Now, I didn't do that. But imagine if I did that. Imagine if in my wisdom, I went, that's the thing to do. Then you wouldn't have been surprised if I ended up going wrong, having a crash. You wouldn't be surprised if I ended up in hospital. You wouldn't be surprised if other people ended up in hospital because of the way that I had run my car. I'm entitled to do it. My car, I can do exactly what I want. But don't be surprised if I'd have suffered consequences if I'd have done that. Now, if I was lying in my hospital bed, really angry, I couldn't turn around to my granddad. I couldn't turn around to Nissan and go, do you know what? That's your fault. Granddad and Nissan gave the instructions. And the instructions are there, if you like, because they've been drawn up by the maker to suit what he has made. And when we don't follow them, it goes wrong. It doesn't work in the way we're meant to. Human beings, we're like that when we live our lives, aren't we? God made us, he knows us, he loves us. He's given us graciously this set of instructions so we can function in the way that we're meant to function. And funnily enough, when we follow them, we get back on the right track. Now, I am not saying that we won't face difficulties and trials and tough times and sadness. But when we are on the right track following God's instructions, we're working in the way that God has intended us. God loves us, he knows us, and he's given us some advice. Let's follow it. If someone comes up to you at any point in the next few weeks or months and talks to you about the Ten Commandments, or is mentioning it, and they say it's irrelevant, they say it's out of date, please set them straight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us.